does your service look like? What do you do as an act of worshipful service for the king who bought you? Are you actively working for the advancement of the kingdom, or are you content to sit back and let others work so that you might play? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Today, Pastor Jim brings us a timely message on the need for service and engagement in kingdom things. It's a lesson that we all need to hear, so let's get right to it. Here is Pastor Jim.
Luke 2, starting in the 21st verse. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And the sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Father, Lord, I ask that today with these that you have gathered here in this house, that you would speak to them. Lord, that you would make much of yourself, that you would use me, that you would speak through me the words that you would have them to hear from your Holy Scripture, that they, Father, would be moved, that they would be quickened, and that their lives would not be the same because of your word, Lord, whether they be saved or lost. May they all leave here today saved. And may those who hear this, whether online or on the radio or wherever it might be, Father, may they hear your word and turn to you. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, Lord, that you would use a wretch like me for your glory's sake. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, we've had a few sermons so far from these first 2 chapters of Luke. And we've learned a lot about who the Lord is, especially in this second chapter. We saw the description of Jesus' birth in verses 1 to 7. And in verses 8 to 20, we saw of the shepherds and the night that Jesus was born and the announcements from the angels. And we saw that Joseph and Mary continued to stay in Bethlehem after the birth of Jesus. And on the 8th day, they circumcised Jesus and named him in accordance with the law, in accordance with the name that was given by the angel in 2:21. And then we know that after 40 days, they were still there for the purification and for Jesus' presentation to the Lord. And we saw that in verses 22 to 24. And while they were in the temple precinct, they met a couple of people at the temple. We talked about Simeon, who was a devout man, devoted to those things of God. And now we come to Anna. And as we come to Anna, I want to point out what Luke is doing here. It was important in that time that there be two witnesses if somebody is going to be accused of something. And knowing this, Luke is bringing for us two witnesses to the truth of who Jesus is and the truth of what he is going to do and what he has done to us today. Anna was a sort of missionary. We've seen the stories through Bible reading and through church history of a number of men and women throughout history who God have used in mighty ways to share his word. And I was looking at one of those who he used, a man named David Livingston. Have we heard that name before? Do we know who David Livingston was? David Livingston was in the 1800s, a missionary, and he was exploring in South and Central Africa, and he was bringing the Word of God. And he finally settled into an area that would today be known as Zambia. In fact, that's where he died in 1873, is in Zambia. The heart of David Livingston was to take God's Word to people. And he brought God's Word, God's grace, God's love to this tribe there in Africa. They found him when he died. He died on May 1st of 1873. And they found him. He had gotten out of his sickbed, had gotten to his knees, and was praying at the side of his bed when he passed. And that's how they found him. Well, back in England, when news quickly traveled back to England, they wanted his body brought back to Britain so that it could be buried there. But this tribe loved him so much because of the truth of God that he brought to them that they didn't want to give his body up. Finally, after a lot of pushing from Britain, the tribe agreed that they would send his body back, but not his heart. They said his body can go to England, but his heart belongs here. And so they kept his heart and buried his heart. In fact, where his heart was buried, there is a memorial to him there now. David Livingston gave his life to share the gospel. After he had been there some 30 years, the New York Herald sent a man named Stanley, Henry Stanley, to find David Livingston. Eventually, he finally found him there. And we have that famous line. Remember the line? Anybody? Dr. Livingston, I presume. That famous line came from that encounter. But he refused to go back. He refused to go back because he was following the call of God for his service. Now, God doesn't call all of us to serve him, but he in that way. But he does call all of us to serve him, doesn't he, if we belong to him? 2 days after that had taken place where Henry Stanley had come and seen him, on March 19th, in his diary, he wrote this, "My birthday today, my Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole self to thee. Accept me and grant, O gracious Father, that ere the year is gone, I may finish my work. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen." On his knees, folks, to serve God. We need to see people who are like this, don't we? And I tell you this story because as we look at Anna, and as we come to the information that the scriptures give us on Anna, it gives us a fair bit of information about her. We know that she had a calling on her life, right? She had a position for God. What was that position? She was a prophetess. Now, don't be mistaken, she was not one who predicted the future. She would have been called a prophetess because she would have been one who shared God's word. That would be the reason she was called prophetess. And it says that in verse 36 of our chapter, the first part. And he says that Anna was this prophetess. There's not a lot of prophetesses mentioned in Scripture. The Old Testament mentions five of them. It mentions the first one was Moses' sister, right? Miriam. That's in Exodus 15 and verse 20. And then we have Deborah. Deborah was in Judges 4:4. Then we have Isaiah's wife in Isaiah 8:3. And I'll probably mess this name up, but Huldah, she was in 2 Kings 22, verse 14, and 2 Chronicles 34, 22. And then there was the false prophetess as well, mentioned in Nehemiah 6, 14. So there weren't a lot of prophetesses to be mentioned, but God created man and woman equal, didn't he? With different roles. And God uses all men and women, even those who don't belong to him, he uses for his glory. So we see that she had this calling on her life to share the word of God. And I believe that that's exactly what this woman did. Do you suppose that God would have his people today share his word? It might even tell us that, wouldn't it? Where does it tell us that? Remember? Matthew 28, maybe? Go into all the world. Go into all the world. And he tells us to share these things that we have learned, to make disciples, and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have that same calling. And I have to ask, are you fulfilling that calling? Are you fulfilling it? Or are you shirking your spiritual duty as a Christian? You know, I think back, I remember asking somebody a similar question one time, and they told me of a time many years earlier that they had shared the gospel. Is there a problem with that? If he hadn't been sharing it from then until now, there's a problem. It isn't something that you have done once or twice. It isn't something that you do for a season. It's something that you do all of your life. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are dying around us. And we who have been saved should have the heart to share the gospel. We also, from this text, we have her name. Verse 36 says there was a prophetess, Anna. Anna. Anna, as a name, is the Hebrew name, or the Greek for the Hebrew name, Hannah. And what does Hannah mean? You remember? Grace. Hannah means grace. And so, she's to be characterized by her name and sharing that word of God with those around her. You know, I was sharing this morning at the other church, and as we was going through this, I told how if you do this and you do it regularly, I didn't say you do it perfectly, I said you do it regularly. We all sometimes say and do the wrong thing. But you do this regularly, it'll become known that you do that. And people will know you by that. And I shared that this morning at the church. And unknown to me, when service was over, a woman came in from outside who had been struggling with addiction. I have prayed with her in the past. She is trying to stay clean, and she came because she knew that I would be there today, and she wanted me to pray with her. Let it be known who you are in Christ so that they can have someone to come to. Because we don't know the moment of the calling of God on them. God knows it. But make yourself available by loving people. We fill ourselves with so much self, and things get in our way, and we only think about how it affects us. We have to step outside of ourselves, and we have to serve God. And in serving God, it has to have His name attached to it. And it has to have His gospel attached to it. If it doesn't have that, then that is not serving him. We also see her heritage. Yes, as Luke is laying this out, he is showing the character of these two witnesses. Simeon was a devout man. And we see here who Hannah is. And we are seeing Luke lay out their character. So not only is he bringing in two witnesses, he is bringing in two high caliber witnesses. You know, we still do that today with expert witnesses. We bring somebody in a court of law for an expert witness, and we lay out all their credentials as to why this person and what they say has any bearing on the case and why anyone should listen to them. And so they start to lay out all their credentials. And that's kind of what Luke is doing here. And so we see her heritage. And he says that she was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. It's interesting that he mentions here that she is of the tribe of Asher. And the reason I say that is the tribe of Asher was one of the 10 tribes that formed the northern kingdom. What happened to them? Well, in about 722 BC, they were taken away captive. And now what do we call them? The lost tribes of Israel. We hear about these lost tribes of Israel. But however, God had sent his prophets to call them to repentance. And when God sends his prophets to call to repentance, though many did not, I mean, we look at Jeremiah, you know, we don't see anyone that was moved by Jeremiah, do we? But we do see a few by Isaiah. And there were some who, when they were called to repent, repented and came to Jerusalem. And so she is of the tribe of Asher. That's big news in her heritage. Now, we also see that she was married. Verse 36, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, living with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. Or in other words, 7 years of marriage. And then we know that she was widowed after that. So she had 7 years. We don't know how old she was when she was married. You know, we don't know of any children or anything like that. But we do know that she had 7 years of marriage. And I would guess, because of the culture, that at this point, after 7 years of marriage, she was very young, still in her early 20s. And she was widowed. Doesn't give us any explanation as to what took place with her husband. We don't know anything about her husband, but that she was widowed. And that's in verse 37. And then as a widow. So the next thing that we see here about Anna, I'm laying all this out because this is what Luke lays out to her witness. And then we'll get to the witness. We see that she's advanced in age. Something I've heard for years from people in the ministry is, it's time for me to step back and let the younger people take over. Well, to a certain extent, maybe that is true, depending on what it is you're talking about that you're doing. But if you're talking about retiring from serving God, then that is never true. You are called to serve Him for all the days of your life. So if we look at this, there's two different schools of thought on her age. Because of the way the text is translated, there are some who believe that she was 84 years old. And that's kind of the way I read the text. But there are others who believe that it's saying that it was 84 years from the time of being a widow. That would put her well over 100. But either way, at 84 years old, what was she doing? She was still serving God. I am excited that maybe very soon to go through with a group of people that book of John Piper's Don't Waste Your Life. That book has been on my heart again recently. I've been looking at it. I picked up a new copy of it, and then I found 3 copies here in the library stuff. But that book describes what a wasted life is and what a life that is not wasted is. And the wasted life, they describe as the American dream. In his book, he says that the American dream, he actually uses that terminology, is a wasted life. And what is the American dream? Is that you can work hard enough to save enough so that you don't have to work and you can go play for the rest of your life. Whether that's travel, whether that's whatever. But that you don't have to do anything. That's the American dream. And John Piper says that that is a wasted life. A wasted life. And then he gives the description of a young person who is serving God in missions and is killed. And he says that is a life that was not wasted. Because it's a life that was given in service to God. As we look at Anna, she is 84 years old. And she is still serving in the temple. 84 or older. And she is still serving in the temple. I know so many, I have been blessed, so many who are in that age group that I have met in my lifetime who were still serving God. I know of some preachers who were still preaching. How old is John MacArthur, by the way? Isn't he 84, I think? I'm pretty sure he's 84 right now. And I sure don't see him slowing down, do you? In fact, he's getting louder as he gets older. You know, we can see so many godly people who continue to serve God until the very end. Not till the end when their retirement began, until the end of their life. Because that is a life that is not wasted, that is a life that is given to God. And it looks like to me that's what Anna is doing. She's given her life to serving God. And we know that she is up there in age. We also see that she was dedicated. In verse 37, and then as a widow, until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple. She did not depart. She was dedicated to the temple. Some think that very possibly she lived in one of the housing units that was within the temple walls. These were places that were set up for the priests when they would come for their 2 weeks. But there were others who served in the temple. Some think maybe she lived there. Others say maybe she lived very close to the temple. But we know that she served in the temple. And when it says not departing, I believe that's what it means. She was there constantly serving and witnessing as a prophetess, as one who was sharing God's word. Now we as Baptists sometimes become too quick to distinguish, well, she surely wasn't witnessing and giving God's word to a woman or to a man, right? You know, God's word is very clear of what the role of a woman is spiritually. But nowhere does it say that she cannot share God's word. If you are married to a woman who serves God, there are times when she shares it with you. Chris says yes. There are times when she shares it with you. There are times when you share it with her. There's a place for a woman to share God's word. It is not the pulpit, but it doesn't take it away from her. In fact, every woman is commanded to do so. But she did not depart from the temple, constantly serving, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. She was dedicated to it. She was working. She was fasting constantly in prayer. Now, when it comes to fasting, I like John MacArthur's definition of that. He says that fasting is self-denial and accompanies passionate prayer. The purpose of fasting is not to lose weight. Rather, the purpose of fasting is to forego the time normally spent eating or ordering or cooking to worship and pray to the Lord. So fasting is about dedicating time to God. Years ago in this church, we did a lunchtime fast for a week where we asked people to fast lunch and to pray during their lunch hour. Sometimes fasting is for an entire day, right? Sometimes it's for multiple days. Sometimes people need to fast from their TV and their phones so they can take that time and give it to God. So we're starting to see the character of who Anna is. I love that Luke is so methodical in making sure that all these little points are pointed out. One author said that he believes that the reason our spiritual lives are so anemic today is because we do not invest the time in developing the spiritual disciplines. We do not spend the time in prayer. We do not spend the time in study, which reminds me of that old study I saw several years ago that said the average preacher prays for 15 minutes a day. That's the average preacher. Now, if they're figuring that average by adding all the hours that all different preachers would pray, there's some that must not be praying more than a minute or two for it to average out like that. Is there a problem with this? There is a problem with this. And if that's what's happening in the pulpit, what's happening in the pew? Is it any wonder that people would rather sit home and watch TV? I was talking with somebody, this is a few weeks back, and they told me that when COVID hit, they stayed home and that their church had online services. And so they started watching the online services every Sunday. And then they said that after a while, there would be something else on that they wanted to watch instead of the online service. So they would catch it later. And then they said that after a while, they just quit watching altogether. Reminds me of the old story of the pastor that went out to the man who had quit coming to church to his house on a cold winter night, and the fire's blazing in the fireplace, and he's talking to him, and the man just tells him flat, and you've all heard this, I don't believe that you have to go to church to be a Christian. And the pastor's trying to explain to him that you need to be a part of the body and a part of the fellowship to keep you hot for Christ, to keep you in line to where you're doing as you should. But the man just wouldn't hear of it. So finally, the pastor grabbed the poker to the fireplace, and he took one coal, and he moved it away from the fire, and he just sat back with his mouth shut, and the two of them watched that coal go from brilliant red to eventually die out to black. And without a word, the man got the message.
Oh, it's so real. The life of the believer is made better by vital interaction with the body of Christ. We live in a culture that has devalued personal interaction, in a land where we're told to do your own thing and don't get involved with other people. It's heralded as safety, as freedom, as respect, but truthfully, it's just plain selfishness. Our culture is inundated with distractions, entertainments, and vapid amusements. But all of these things will drain the life out of you in a heartbeat. It's only among the people of God that a follower of Christ can reach their fullest potential. It's only in service for the King that our lives take on real and eternal significance. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you have been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you, and bless the hearing of His Word.